Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Midweek Mysteries, and thank you all for being here. I am your host, Nick Ryan. If you're new to the show, Midweek Mysteries is a shorter version of our full-length Sunday episodes, where we also enjoy giving a personal shout-out to our newest supporters, so please be sure to tune in. If you're interested in supporting the podcast, you can become a patron at patreon.com/paranormalmysteries, or if you prefer to make a one-time donation, please visit buymeacoffee.com/paranormal. And as always, subscribing to the podcast and sharing it with your friends is one of the best ways to show your support. Now, let's see what today's storytellers have to say. Today's first midweek mystery comes to us from Jennifer. Jennifer's story is called The Hall Light. Jennifer says, "Hi Nick, this is Jennifer, the author of Lucky Lady. There is one other experience you can say that I'm having. This one is a combination of things that my husband and I have seen and heard in our own condo. Our condo was built in 1974. Most of the lights in our condo are hooked up to switches that can be operated by voice commands to smart home devices like Amazon Alexa, including our hall light. In order to turn these lights on hands-free, they have to have a proper voice command, such as, Amazon, turn on hall light. Well, we have found that our hall light will sometimes turn on without this command. We came home one day to find the hall light on, when it was off when we left. My husband also heard his name being called, as clear as day, when no one else, other than our dog, Wrigley, was with him in the condo, and I was at a store, nowhere near the condo. He believes that it was a little boy that called his name. Wrigley also growls at nothing we can see occasionally, especially our bedroom closet. He did growl at something in our kitchen when we first got him in early 2019, but he hasn't growled at our kitchen since. Now it's mainly at our bedroom closet, and not as often. Whatever he growled at must now want attention by messing with our hall light. Our smart home devices will also occasionally respond to randomness, but that can mostly be chalked up to voices of actors on TV, but there has been a time or two when there was no way that that could have been the cause of it. If something is playing with our hall light and saying my husband's name, it's not threatening. Maybe it is a little boy just wanting to play. This has been going on now for a few months. I hope you find this experience as fascinating as we do." Our next midweek mystery comes to us from R. R's story is called Encounter with an Unknown in Michigan. R says, "This took place when I was a young kid, around the age of 3 or 4. It was summer, and my family lived in apartments in Freeland, Michigan. We lived on the second story of Building 3, and at the time, we were surrounded on all three sides by farm fields. The one directly behind us was let to grow wild. This would be the west-facing side of the building. It was in the evening, just after sunset in late summer, and my parents had tucked me into bed, roughly half an hour previously. At the time, my bed faced the only window in the room, and its curtain was open, as my mom felt I would like the view of the sun setting over the trees to sleep to. I had been in the room a short time, and was not yet tired, when I heard a loud thud outside the window. Again, I lived on the second story. I heard another thud, and then another. This piqued my interest, and I sat up in bed. At this point, a face appeared in the bottom half of the window on the outside. I will remember it clearly for as long as I live. It had yellowish skin, as well as mild spikes at intervals underneath the skin. Two large almond-shaped eyes with bright yellow rings in them, and a relatively small mouth. Whatever this thing was, it had a grip on the outside window frame and was staring right at me. At this point, I felt for the first time in my life a true fight or flight response. I knew I had to get out of that room as fast as I could. When it reached up to put a hand on the glass, I flipped over the headboard on the bed and ran for my parents. My father went in to investigate, and then went out of the apartment to go downstairs, outside, and look. I was terrified beyond all reasoning. It would be another 6 years before I was able to sleep through the night, and even then, I had to have the door open, a light on, and blankets over the window. Over time, I slowly convinced myself that it was all my imagination, that I must have made it up. But my father has stated that when he went down to look that night, he found strange tracks in the ground under the window. Years later, as an adult, I moved into that same apartment with my girlfriend and her children. They slept in that very room, and her son then had reoccurring night terrors about something visiting that room. Eventually, we moved away from that place, and his night terrors stopped altogether. I do not know exactly what it was that I encountered as a child, but strange things have cropped up periodically in my life since then. When you mentioned your own story on your podcast, I knew I had to write and tell you mine. I hope this at least gives you some food for thought. Best regards, R. Our next story of the night comes from Anonymous, and their story is called UFO Encounter. Anonymous says, "Hi, Nick. This happened on December 26, 1982, at 11:30 p.m. in a Virginia suburb of Washington, D.C. The day after Christmas that year was uncharacteristically warm, 64 degrees in the daytime, and 54 at almost midnight. Cloud cover was recorded at 100% all day, and caused the almost full moon to have brilliant halos around it earlier that night. We couldn't see the moon anymore because the thick, low-hanging stratus clouds had filled in the whole sky. I have cross-checked the Weather Almanac data to confirm the weather, cloud cover, and moon phase. I was 18, and my 19-year-old boyfriend was walking me home through a sparsely wooded creekside park. Ironically, it's the same park where Robert Hansen was arrested by the FBI while making classified information drops to the Soviets under a bridge. We stopped and sat on a log to talk and enjoy the warm night air. My boyfriend saw it first, moving slowly, shining lights into the houses bordering the park. He thought it was a helicopter, but there was no chopper noise, and it glided more like a blimp. It stopped in the air above us, and an intensely bright spotlight shone down in a 2 to 3 foot circle on the forest floor, about 15 feet in front of us. I could only see a black form above us then, because the light was so bright. There was no aircraft noise, just an ultrasonic, high-pitched electrical sound. It was there for less than 30 seconds. When I spoke, the light went off, and it began to ascend. It looked like an oblong silver oval, the length of a bus. Then, from a standstill, it took off at such an incredibly high rate of speed, it literally blew a hole through the thick cloud cover. The hole remained for a while, and I could see the night sky through it. We were speechless. We hurried back to town and used a payphone to call the Air Force base. My boyfriend did not want to report it, but I insisted that the authorities needed to know. The man taking my information was condescending and suggested that I hallucinated it. Rather than argue with him, I stated that even if I had imagined it, that there were two of us, and two separate people don't hallucinate the same thing. There was no existing or explainable technology in existence, then or now, that could move silently from a standstill at such an incredible velocity. Thanks for listening. Anonymous. Our next story of the night comes from Aaliyah. Aaliyah says, "When I was 5, my teenage parents rented a house in rural Arkansas. And even as we drove up, my dad remarked that it seemed odd that this decent house on a large 2 acres was something that they could afford. The landlord said that the house had been sold multiple times and that he had tried to live there himself, but no one could stay longer than 6 months. The room that my brother and I shared was painted this god-awful baby puke green. My mother tried to paint it multiple times, but the green just came back. About 2 weeks in, the strangeness began. Things missing, moved. Then our bunk bed fell on my brother and broke his arm. We both kept having horrific nightmares. Then I started seeing her, a little girl my age, but with black eyes. She hung outside my window at night, talking to me. She said she was cold and needed to come in, so I opened the window and let her in. Then she started hurting me, locking me in the closet, and told me she was going to kill me, and she scratched me all over. I kept trying to tell my parents about her, but they didn't believe me. We had a dog, Conrad, that she would torture. We woke up one day, and he was dead. Dad buried him. Finally, after months of her attacking my brother and I, my parents finally moved us out of there into the dining room and turned our room into the music room. My teenage uncles hung out there all the time. We came home one day to find them all outside in the August heat, shaking and scared. They said that they were in there hanging out when the records started flying. Dad went in and the records were embedded in the wall. We left immediately, never to return. When my dad was turning the keys back to the landlord, he told him that I claimed a little girl ghost was torturing us. The landlord replied that the original owners in the 30s was a dad and his 5-year-old daughter who lived there, and there was much gossip that he was abusing her in the worst way possible. The cops finally confronted him, and the next day, the man hung himself and his daughter. They finally tore the place down and made it into apartments. I wouldn't want to live there. Love your show, and I hope you continue to thrive. Aaliyah." Our next story comes from Susan. Susan's story is called Pet Taunted. Susan says, "Hi, Nick. This story has to do with my cat, and I'd be anxious to hear if any other listeners may have similar stories. My cat and I share a cozy house that I purchased just a year ago. The home was built by a couple in 1975, and only occupied by them and the family that they raised until my recent purchase. The couple had health issues and could no longer continue living in the home, but were still living. I give you all of this background to say that I don't believe the house to be haunted by a previous occupant. The first incident happened when I was out for the day. My cat was left inside as always, but when I returned home, she was locked out on my sun porch. I only found her after an exhaustive and stressful search. After all, why would she have been out there? I have no pet doors, and there are 2 doors that must be open for her to be out there. Since I am no stranger to the paranormal, I did my best to dismiss it and comfort my cat. The next incident happened while I was at home. I had fed my cat and gone to the bottom floor of my split level to watch TV. After an hour or so, I realized that my cat wasn't nearby. This was strange, as she is pretty much a constant companion. I called her, but she didn't come. So I began to search. I found her in an upstairs bedroom with the door shut tightly. My doors are from the 70s and require a pretty swift shove to get them to shut and latch, something that I don't believe the cat could do. In addition to the cat shut in the upstairs bedroom, there was a hallway light that was turned on that I know wasn't on before because it was only just turning to dusk. There is no home automation in my house. There is a security system, though, and if someone had entered my home, a chime would have sounded, and I'd have an alert on my phone. I did consult a psychic who believes there is a spirit who doesn't care for the cat in my dwelling and recommended that I clear the home, which I did. Thanks for the entertainment, and tell your listeners to share their paranormal pet experiences, if you would. P.S. My cat can frequently be seen looking about the room, as if she sees something or is following something with her eyes. My son and I have both witnessed this behavior. The cat will also occasionally puff up in full puff mode, with all her hairs standing up for no discernible reason. Thanks, Sue. After speaking with Sue, she had an update regarding this strange phenomena going on that's affecting her and her cat. Sue says, "Hi again, Nick. I wanted to send you an update on my situation since I wrote about my cat's experience. I got in touch with a well-known psychic medium who also reads auric fields. She let me know that it is the deceased husband of a client I work with at my job who is attaching himself to me. He has a message for his wife and recognizes that I am also a medium. This information blew me away, but makes perfect sense. I thought I had this ability, but needed confirmation. She then advised me to instruct the entity to leave and only come back when invited, if I chose to try and help convey the message. She further said, 'You don't need anyone in your house messing with your lights and moving things around.' I hadn't told her any of that. She said, 'You can send him off with love to a parallel universe. We will do this right now.' She said a quick prayer to that effect, and that was that. I am now learning more about communication with those who've passed, so I can be of service in the future when I understand more about it. Keep up the great work that you do. Thanks again, Sue." Our last story of the night comes from Emily. Emily's story is called Mulberry Black Thing. Emily says, "Hi, Nick. I recently found your podcast, and suddenly, I don't feel like such a weirdo. My family are all fairly sensitive in their own ways, myself included, so I've had several encounters of various types. This is by far one of the oddest I have had, and one I didn't understand until I talked to my grandpa. When I was a kid, I stayed with my grandparents along the Cumberland River most summers, where I'd ride horses, work on their farm, and explore the local area, where there are many small caves and camping areas. When I was 14, I finally got the freedom to ride through the woods to meet my friends at the campsites at the local caves for overnight stays. It was nearing the end of summer, and I was making the familiar ride to one of these sites when this story takes place. It was a bright and hot day, and the trees were casting fairly small shadows, so it was easy to see my surroundings. Nearing halfway there, my horse, Roper, started to get agitated and kept trying to turn around and head home. Around this time, I also noticed that it was starting to get unseasonably cold, but the humidity was much worse, like sitting at the bottom of a cold pool. I had looked down for some reason, I have forgotten why, and when I looked up, there was a huge black bear. It had to be at least 10 feet tall. It stood above me on Roper, and it was strange. I couldn't see its fur. It was like the bear was slick. The details you'd see on a living bear were missing, such as fur and whiskers. While I was still in shock over what I was seeing, Roper took the lapse in my concentration and bolted home. When I finally came back to my senses, I slowed him down, but decided it was best to head home. Later that day, I found out that none of my friends had been able to get to the campsite either, due to car trouble, cattle that got out, or other out-of-the-ordinary things. At dinner, I told my grandparents about what had happened and what I had seen. That's when my grandpa told me about a local legend, the Mulberry Black Thing. It was always a large black animal that roamed the area and usually helped people in need or tried to scare off people with malicious intent. I didn't think too much of it until later that week when I found out that the campsite we were headed to had been attacked by a large animal, and at the scene, there was evidence of illegal drugs and some violence unrelated to the animal attack. This sparked my curiosity, so I started talking to my grandparents' neighbors about any strange animals they had seen. Many of them mentioned the legend of the Mulberry Black Thing, and one woman in her 90s had told me that her family had seen it when she was young, and that they thought it to be a spirit of a Native American that protected the innocent people that lived in the area. I don't know how much of it is true, or how much of it I believe, but I know I saw something, and that it likely saved me from a very unpleasant encounter. Have you heard of this, or people that have seen it? Any information would help quell my curiosity that has once again surfaced at remembering and telling the story. Emily. As we come to the end of this edition of Midweek Mysteries, I'd like to say thank you to all of you for tuning in as always and supporting the podcast. And a special thank you goes out to Jennifer, R, Anonymous, Aaliyah, Susan, and of course Emily, for writing in and sharing their experience with all of us. If any of you have thoughts, advice, or a similar experience that you'd like to share with one of tonight's storytellers, you can email me, and I'll be sure to forward your message on to them. If you've witnessed something unexplainable, and you'd like to have your story shared on the podcast, please contact me at paranormalmysteriespodcast@gmail.com, or visit paranormalmysteriespodcast.com and click on the Tell Your Story link. All of our contact information can be found in the show notes. From all of us at the Paranormal Mysteries Podcast, thank you for listening, and remember, don't wait for the unknown to come to you. Get out there and find it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.